Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose, said Kris Kristofferson in the song Me and Bobby McGee. I'd like for Kris to share that with the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I believe they had everything to lose, and they knew it, and some of them did. But what they gained and what we gained was so much more important to them. They served you and I. They were free to do so, just like countless others who gave up something so we could be free. Now, we know that freedom is not free, it's costly. Someone always pays a price for freedom. That is what makes it even more special. Along with freedom, however, comes responsibility. So many young people are itching to get out on their own. It's not just the young people, but they're a ready example. They think that once they are out on their own, they will be free. And that to them means able to do whatever they want, whenever and however they want to, without anyone over them. Those of us who are now stupid, in their eyes, know better. Freedom has never meant that one could do whatever one wants to do. You and I are free, but within limits. We are restrained by many things. Freedom for the Christian is to serve God and other believers out of love. And as we do so, we will be willing to and will fulfill the call of God on our lives. And that is one of not indulging ourselves. Being free is a calling. Now, if there's a calling, there has to be one who calls, a caller. Unbelievers speak of praying many times, but they never stop to think how that implies that someone who could actually change things is listening. I have found that calling in the Bible always implies responsibility. You and I can choose to fulfill our calling or not. Judas was called. Judas chose not to fulfill his calling as an apostle. Israel was called. They forsook their calling. We are in danger of not fulfilling this calling that we have from God if we listen to and indulge our flesh. Paul is reminding them, the Galatians, that they are indeed free from the law. It's no longer their schoolmaster. They have graduated and no longer require the law to lead them to Christ. That's what he means. The law has done its job. They are out of school and on to responsible freedom. Liberty. Responsible liberty is also another way to put it. They are free to serve God and each other without outside pressure to do so. When you're driving, occasionally you encounter a yield sign. This means that you must yield the right to proceed to another driver who is in your pathway. It is in your best interest to yield, and it is your calling at that point in time. The other driver does not own the right-of-way. You yield it to her. Now, that's an excellent picture of what Christian liberty is all about. We yield our rights oftentimes when we put others first before ourselves. No one could demand that another yield her rights, but it is a calling upon all of us. Perhaps we need yield signs all over the place to remind us of our calling to yield. People were fearful in this sort of a scenario when you spoke of faith without the law, especially in Judaism, that would lead to complete licentiousness and running headlong into paganism. It is true that could happen. And it's also a fear of parents who send their children out for the first time, no matter what age they might be. Legalism is not the cure for that. An appeal to freedom, like Paul is making here, is the cure and antidote. Presumption upon the graciousness of others is really a problem, no doubt. But it is precluded when one operates within responsible freedom. We have a lot to lose if we fulfill our calling to responsible freedom as well. We also give up our penchant for slavery, and we're more like a man who's been loosed from prison. He is not free to do anything he wishes. He is free as long as he lives within the bounds of society. Free? You bet. But free to serve God and to serve others as love dictates. Now, freedom can be misused. Christians and others can pervert and misuse their freedoms. Freedom can become a base of operations, like a springboard for throwing off all moral restraint and indulging in the lusts of the flesh. When this happens, liberty becomes license. Flesh is a decidedly negative term here in Galatians, referring to self-willed human pride. Basically, when operating in the flesh, God is nowhere in sight, and you are attempting to use your own strength and willpower to accomplish whatever it is that you are doing. J.I. Packer has a really good illustration in his book, Hot Tub Religion. It's entitled A View from a Hot Tub. The other day, I was one of a crowd who spent much of a wet Saturday afternoon in a hot tub. My student advisees, who formed the crowd, had advised me to try it. "You'll like it," they said. Previously, I had thought of hot tubs as reserved for hedonists in Hollywood and Sybarites in San Francisco, but now I know that under certain circumstances, members of Regent College teaching faculty may also use them. Every day, it seems, one learns something new. As I sat there savoring hot tubness, cracking small jokes and adjusting to the feel of being bubbled over from all angles, it struck me that the hot tub is the perfect symbol of the modern route in religion. The hot tub experience is sensuous, relaxing, floppy, laid back, not in any way demanding, whether intellectually or otherwise, but very, very nice, even to the point of being great fun, especially with an advisee group like mine. Many today want Christianity to be like that and labor to make it so. The ultimate step, of course, would be to clear church auditoriums of seats and install hot tubs in their place. Then there would never be any attendance problems. Meantime, many churches, evangelists, and electronic religionists are already offering occasions which we are meant to feel are the next best thing to a hot tub. Namely, happy gatherings, free from care, real fun times for all. Happiness has been defined as a warm puppy. This kind of religion projects happiness in the form of a warm welcome to all who tune or drop in, a warm choir with a schmaltzy swing, a warm back-scratching use of words in prayer and preaching, and a warm, cheerful afterglow. Another hot tub touch. To the question, where is God? The answer, which these occasions actually project, never mind what is said, is in the preacher's pocket. Soothing for sure, but is it faith? Worship? Service of God? Is godliness the real name of this game? As I hot tubbed on, slumping deeper into uninhabited floppiness, I saw why the chromium-plated folk religion of which I am speaking has gained such a hold. Modern life strains us. We get stimulated till we are dizzy. Relationships are brittle. Marriages break. Families fly apart. Business is a cutthroat race. And those not at the top feel themselves mere cogs in another's machine. Automation and computer technology have made life faster and tenser, since we no longer have to do the time-consuming routine jobs over which our grandparents used to relax their minds. We have to run more quickly than any generation before us simply to stay where we are. No wonder, then, that when modern Western man turns to religion, if he does, most don't. What he wants is a total tickling relaxation, the sense of being at once soothed, supported, and effortlessly invigorated. In short, hot tub religion. He asks for it, and up folk jump to provide it. What hot tub religion illustrates most clearly is the law of demand and supply. What then should we say of hot tub religion? Certainly a rhythm of life that includes relaxation is right. The fourth commandment shows that. Alternating hard labor with fun times is right too. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And Jesus so often went to banquets, the fun times of the ancient world, that he got called glutton and drunkard. Enjoying our bodies while we can, as opposed to despising them, which is Platonism at best, Manichaeism at worst, and super spiritual conceit either way, is part of the discipline of gratitude to our Creator. And uninhibited exuberances like clapping, dancing, shouting, praise, and crying out in prayer can be approved too, provided we do not hereby stumble others. Without these hot tub factors, as we may call them, our Christianity would be less godly and less lively, for it would be less human. But if there were no more to our Christianity than hot tub factors, if that is, we embraced a self-absorbed hedonism of relaxation and happy feelings while dodging tough tasks, unpopular stances, and exhausting relationships, we should fall short of biblical God-centeredness in the cross-bearing life to which Jesus calls us, and advertise to the world nothing better than our own decadence. Please God, however, we shall not settle for that. And I could live without ever seeing a hot tub again, but I hope I won't have to. The speed limit tells us the speed we are permitted to drive. Now we can go slower or faster, but we are permitted to drive at one speed. It isn't always wise to go that speed. Conditions warrant other speeds at times. Limiting our speed is oftentimes wise. Likewise, it is wise as a believer to restrain one's liberty. Fire, depending on its usage, can be useful or destructive. Christian liberty has the potential for doing great good, but when misused, the potential is equal for devastating destruction. Believers are free to use their freedom positively. Believers are free from the law as a system of salvation, yet desire to live by it, out of reverence to God and out of love for God, first. Second, out of love for the law itself, which gives us a glimpse of God Himself. Third, out of self-love, for we know that there is no real happiness for us, both now and hereafter, without holiness. Freedom calls for good, responsible decisions to act on principle, not out of mindless emotion, conformity, or following the crowd. Believers are free. We do not require bullying or external pressure, and we are motivated by the love of God and justice and the motivation to serve one another in love. Believers are free to be slaves to one another, in other words. Real freedom is realized in the slavery of love toward one another. Slavery to sin we are born to. We cannot escape it. Freedom to one another is voluntary and is a source of deep, deep joy. Bob Dylan saying, you've got to serve somebody. And that's exactly correct. A man wrapped up in himself is indeed also a small package. I'm thinking back in my history, and my grandmother must have been full of joy because she lived to serve others. I think she enjoyed giving everything away. What she planted in her garden, she planted for others. What she made for others. What she earned for others. Oh, sure, she had to live herself, but that was only apparently secondary to her. When she couldn't do that anymore, she died. It is ironic that we are told not to be slaves to legalism, but slaves to one another. In one, we have no choice, but in the other, we are free to choose to be so. That is the Christian form of freedom. The glorious good news of being in Christ is that we have been delivered from the bondage of the law and from being captive to the forces of evil. We actually express our freedom as we serve one another, and it's realized only in that arena. If you want a real good illustration of all of this, you need to look at Philippians 2:5. What is so amazing about Jesus' self-sacrifice is that love and a desire to glorify God was its motivation. He chose to be a slave in his humiliation and his death on a cross. Have this mind in you, says Paul. True freedom is focused on the crucified Christ. That's why it makes no sense when we cannot find workers or people to serve in various places in the church. Conclusion, freedom costs. It cost Jesus his life. It will cost us ours as well. What are our values? Are they the same as the world's? If so, why? Have you made it a goal of yours to serve others? Why are so many people depressed and in despair and disappointed? Seemed like it's a modern-day problem. How much service is going on? How much love is being expressed through service these days in which we live? Well, that's enough for now. Until we see each other again, Lord willing, Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.